Brilliant from Kennedy. Couldn't resist the shot. That's gone in off the defender.
The chairman, you lose your little player. And it's in. It's a goal from Gilmour. Jimmy Gilmour has scored for Falkirk.
Finnegan's cross. Stephen Thompson. Falkirk have the lead after a quarter of an hour.
McKenzie slips. It goes straight to McGuffey. McGuffey shoots from his own half. And that is incredible.
He's taking them all on here. Catch him if you can. You can't. That is amazing. That is phenomenal. A touch of individual inspiration from Kevin McAllister.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
Hello and welcome once again to Falkirk Daft, and what a way to answer your critics. A five-star performance, five goals to boot, and five excellent sub-performances as well. The Wasps got well and truly stung on Saturday. They love doing that sort of chat, don't they? So there you go. Absolutely brilliant. I'm your host, John McAnally, and as ever, I'm joined by the Ginger God of Pod, the one-man band in the main stand, Mr. Ross Vitality himself. Ross Wayne, everyone.
Good evening, sir. How are we? Are you good?
Very good. Very, very good. Oh, got to say, I mentioned to my son, I've been up in Perth today. We're recording on a Sunday. He scored his first rugby try today. I was very, very proud parent today for Falkirk. Scored his first try. And do you know who it was against? Which made it even sweeter.
Finland.
It was indeed. God, come on. Love it. Love it, and they beat Dunfermline, and they beat Stirling County as well, actually. That was a bit, they were a bit tasty, that game, let's just say, with the boys.
Right, okay.
But they got beat off Perth, but they were a very good side. But well done, Finlay Mac. Boy done them good today, so I was delighted. Very proud parent today, so I thought I'd give the wee man a mention. We both made it to Aloe in the end, Ross. We were kind of on this podcast last week saying, oh, will we go, will we not? You know, it's that time of year, you've got to put in some quality time with the family and all that sort of stuff. And both of us had the same point. It was like, oh, are you going to the football? And I was like, took that as a
green light.
That's a green light for me, thanks. Yes, I am. I am going to the football. Okay, what time will you be back? So me and you were in the same situation. We jumped in the car together and headed through Tower. I'm glad we did.
Yes, yes. Really good day yesterday. Yeah, and a good evening as well after the Montrose last minute equaliser. So
absolutely, I did like see that first beer I had last night. It tasted so, so good. It always just does taste so good once you've had a win, and a win like that, which was a fantastic performance. And of course, we're going to be talking about the hour game in a bit with our guest pundit Gavin McGill this week. And our big event happening at the weekend was at the Camelin. There we go. We've decided it's Camelin and Social Club, and that was the Blockbusters event that was getting run for the FSS, and they made $1,500 there for the FSS. Brilliant work, boys.
Fantastic. Yep, I saw a couple of pictures quite late Friday night, and then
I caught up to Derek Steele yesterday, caught up with him, who loves his music. Oh god, and I think Razor Cuts, that's, he's gonna kill me when he does a fanzine for like punk and stuff like that. It's amazing. I think it's Razor Cuts, he writing his music, Steele, and the gig was great. A lot of people turned up, and there you go, $1,500 for the FSS as well, which was great. Yep.
Brilliant amount, yeah. And you know, I know it's not always just about how much money, like, but it's another event that just brings the fans together again. Like, obviously, we had the Legends, the Brockville night back in November, and the club do various.
Got a speakers night coming up.
Speakers night coming up, absolutely. I think there's just a couple of tables left for that, Graham Carbis was saying. So, yeah, just all these things, they bring in money. But it helps sort of bring that sort of the fans even more together than they already are.
Yeah, it does. And we've got one of those such events coming this Saturday. More details in a minute when we talk about the Falkirk Daft pub crawl. And actually on that, I was speaking to Peter from Haldane Construction. He was at the game yesterday. It's just down the road from him. And I said to Peter, fancy coming on the pub crawl next week? Peter was like, aye, why no? So he's got to get it signed off, because I asked his beautiful wife Marie as well. I said, Marie, you want to come as well? And she was like, no chance. So aye, we'll get into that in a minute. But we've got to say, obviously, thank you to Peter and Haldane Construction for all the support on the podcast this season. They sponsored the Falkirk. Remember the first sort of stuff they did with the club was they sponsored the Falkirk away day for the Darvel game last season. But, you know, they've been delivering construction building projects through the Central Belt for two decades now. If you're looking for an extension, a new build, anything like that, Peter and the team have the skills and professional approach to undertake a vast range of projects. The customers are at the heart of everything they do, and they'll take a collaborative approach to design. They'll hold your hand all the way. Great communication. And Peter is a lovely, lovely guy. And I'm pretty sure if you say that you heard his name getting mentioned on Falkirk Daft, you'll do a wee deal. So yeah, we've got awards coming out their ears as always. And if you want to get in touch with them, quality loyalty at the heart of the business, you can get them at haldaneconstruction.co.uk, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook, of course. And if you want to drop them an email, it's info@haldaneconstruction.co.uk. We launched Birthday Corner last week, Ross, when we were watching people. Now, people, it's like the GBX, and I feel we should have bits and pieces on in the background because people are just wanting shout outs now. So we'll get, I'll start kick us off with saying, all right, boys, we'd just like to wish a happy birthday to Craig Backen from the Gary Oliver fan club. Wow, Gary Oliver's got a fan club, amazing. Also, just to mention, Craig has lost a bet, which was Calvin to get 10 plus goals and assists, which it means he's lost to get, he has to get a tattoo of Calvin's number. Unlucky mate. Ha ha ha. The photo will be going on Twitter. We need to see this tattoo. So is it, Calvin's 29, isn't he?
Yes. Yes, he is. Number 29. Yep.
Good yeah. Shot. So there we go. So you've got, I don't, where's he, do you think he's not going to get the full 29 on his back? It must be a wee 29 somewhere on his arm or something like that. More DQ. More details required, please, and we want to find out about this Gary Oliver fan club and who is in it. We've got another shout out there, Ross, haven't we?
Is it Ian Parker, that one?
It is, yeah.
Yes, yes. So Ian's got in touch to say, boys, forget Stato, forget ScotRail. Go to the Oracle for the correct pronunciation of Camelin, a man who spent 30 years compiling a book on the place names of Falkirk, John Reid. Sadly, no longer with us, but I've attached two pages from his book. Read the second one first, and you might have to stand on your head to read the first one. Hopefully, this will put the topic to bed, and you can go on discussing whether any Dutchmen were actually in skin flats, or as an old colleague of mine used to call it, flat skins.
Thank you, Ian. And I've got the pages here in front of us. It goes back to John Reid wrote this book. Here it goes. General Roy and his Planet of the Fort shows the place known as Camelin as New Camelin. Traditionally, the local pronunciation of the name takes two forms, the most common being Camelin or the other Camelin. There's an interesting tendency to hear it spoken as it's spelled, which is Camelin, with O sound. This is the Gaelic name with the first. Wow, someone's went deep on this rather than sticking up a poll on Twitter like we did. Thanks for Ian for getting in touch with that. Another shout out that's come in is from our Facebook, saying, wonder if you give my uncle a shout on the next podcast. That has come in from, let me just check the name on that, professional as ever on Falkirk Daft. This has come in from Billy Martin, and he says, wonder if you give my uncle a shout on the next pod. Wee Polak story, he's been going through a hell of a time for the last 4 or 5 years. He's been a season ticket for so many years. He lost his eye to cancer and hasn't really fully recovered. Waiting on more test results coming back. Shout out to Willie Lindsay. All the best, Willie. Hope you're okay, and we'll see you around at the stadium pretty soon. And remember, a couple of weeks ago, they said there was someone listening in Charlotte, and I could not remember his name. Shout out to Tam, listening in Charlotte. I'm just going to say Tam because I can't imagine there's many Tams in North Carolina.
Probably not. No, I don't think so.
So Tam, I'm pretty sure you're the only Tam in North Carolina that listens to this podcast. Prove me wrong if it's not the case, but thank you very much for listening out there in Charlotte. Do you know who else has been back in touch, Ross?
Who's that, buddy?
Denon Lewis. Oh, amazing. Yeah. Thank you, Denon. Very keen listener of the podcast. He says, hi, guys. To coin a phrase that I learned on a night out in Glasgow, I'm pure red region, by the way, so I am, or... Classic Glasgow. So I'm her. And so is my mate, the mysterious Nigerian prince. I'm raging on two accounts. Why the fuck have I not been selected for the Love Island All-Stars? It's a very good question. And where is this Aki's offer? I'm still languishing in the woking wilderness. Come on, Aki's time is running out in this window. We've not got long to go in the window now. 3 days left for Denon. The Nigerian prince is also fuming. Let me tell you, he is the most upset with Falkirk FC. 2 weeks of pish Falkirk performances have forced him to lay his bet earlier than he wanted and at lower odds. Now, when Aki's inevitably won the league, he will only win 4 million. He also can't believe that Falkirk FC turned down the ridiculous generous offer from Hamilton of £24,500,000 for Falkirk's three best players, Callum Morrison, Calvin Miller, Alfredo Aguiman. £12 million for Morrison, £12 million for Miller, and £500 for Aguiman, especially given the extremely good terms as advised by the Nigerian prince himself. £500 sterling right now and the rest to be paid instalments of £200 per month for the next 10,000 years. Why have Falkirk turned us down? The Nigerian prince blood pressure is now off the scale. Up you hell rat, your good friend, Denon.
Do you know, there's nothing you can say to that, John, really.
There is nothing. I mean, obviously the Nigerian prince in charge of Hamilton over there, doing a fantastic, I don't know, I'll have to say, if you don't know the kind of gag is, remember when Hamilton gave all their money away to a scam? I think that's what Denon's maybe getting at in that.
So,
but thank you for getting in touch as ever, Dan. Love to hear your stories. Let's talk football then. It's been a busy week, Ross, in terms of incomings and outgoings. First off, we heard that Jordan Allen joined Clyde on loan. What are your thoughts on that?
He obviously needs a game time. He's not going to feature much for us on the basis of what we've seen so far. If it helps get his confidence up, then brilliant. Obviously, if that means he's scored another few goals between now and May, I do have reservations as to whether he'll remain at the club. I wonder if he's maybe one of these players that, because of his lack of game time, he may fancy a new opportunity, or we will in the summer, because he's still got another year left on his contract. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But good luck to him. He's obviously not staying in the same league, unlike Ola, so we're not going to see too much of him. Actually, in fact, don't know what I'm talking about. We're not going to see Ola either, because I doubt he's going to play against us for Cove. But yeah, see how he gets on. He's scored already, hasn't he?
Yeah, he scored in the first few minutes yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah, but no, good luck to him. I just have reservations that he'll be back. I think he may end up heading out to another club again in the summer.
I mean, it's a shame. It is a shame for Jordan. We've spoke about him so many times on this podcast that he just doesn't fit the system and he doesn't have what McGlynn needs for playing that number nine, because he doesn't have the kind of back-to-goal mentality or the flick-on. You know, our system really is, Ross is central to that system, getting the flick-ons on and out to Calvin and Callum and holding it up to bring those two into play. And Jordan really doesn't have that about a game. We've talked about it so many times. He's a different striker. He probably plays better as a two. We'd probably like to see him. We saw him in a two against Edinburgh and it didn't work out well. But I think there was a lot going on in that game and I don't think that was Jordan's fault. But it's like, it's a player that I think every Falkirk supporter wants to do well and wants to see coming good. So yeah. Best of luck to Jordan and good to see he's off to the start with Clyde. We've spoken to a few Clyde supporters on Friday night and they were delighted that Jordan was back, and as I say, he's got off to a flyer there at Clyde. So fingers crossed he can. I've got to say Clyde are one of our bogey teams, but I feel that's a team I feel so sorry for. Like in terms of being bumped from pillar to post, ground to ground, and you know they've got a decent wee fan base and a really hardcore. And we spoke to Paul from the Clyde podcast on this podcast before, and he's a great guy, and you know. I feel sorry for them, so hopefully they can stay up and Jordan can get a few goals for them. The other one out the door this week was Ola Lawau. Thoughts on that one, Ross?
I thought you might say this one, John, because obviously we talked about him yesterday, as did loads of people overheard our conversation when they were in the pie hut queue, weren't they, at the game. Listen, I like Ola. I think he's got an awful lot of skill. We've said it before that he needed more of an opportunity. He's obviously not had many opportunities because he's not been able to force his way into the team. Do I think he will play again for Falkirk? I don't think so. I don't think he's able to break into the team. He's a nice lad. He's obviously got an awful lot of skill about him, but he's not good enough based on the current team that we've got. I think if he had more of a chance to play last year, he might have got more game time because he was probably a better player than we had this year. But would you, John, would you drop any of the players that are getting a game
for him? No, I wouldn't. I think, again, Oa's just another player, and I think a good footballer that just doesn't suit the system. I think Oa would be good in that 10 role, but Nesbitt plays there, and Nesbitt's engine, and Oa doesn't have the work rate that Nesbitt does. Oa has a trick in his up his sleeve. He's got a bit of burst of pace on him. You know, he's got a half decent finish on him. We obviously he set up. You know, we're talking about Awa later on, but he set up one, scored one the last time we played Awa at the Rex. But yeah, I just don't think we have the system that suits Oa. I don't think he would work out wide. I think perfect position, and that's where he played for Cove yesterday. He was in that 10 role. But yeah, I think you were calling him rotten. I believe was
rotten was maybe a bit harsh. I think.
And further in January, I believe you said it was a big loss that Oa was out injury.
As in January this year or last year?
I think it was last year.
Aye. So it was a long time ago, so there's a lot.
Thanks to my brother David who pointed this out to me. He heard you slagging off Oa and said double standards from Ross.
No, but listen, I don't think it's double standards. I think I've said before, I like him. We've just said it the other night. He's a lovely guy. He's got a lot of good skill about him. But he's not good enough now for this team. And that's down to the recruitment that we've put in place this year. He's just not good enough, unfortunately. And he had 18 months, John. And I think if he was shown it in training, if he was working hard and making more of his opportunity when he got a sniff in the team, because let's remember, that Dundee United game back in November, he didn't do himself much favours that night either. I just don't think he's going to come back. I think he'll end. He's out of contract in the summer anyway,
yeah.
Isn't he?
But I tend to agree. I don't think it's, you know, I don't think you'll see Oa back in Falkirk, which is a shame because I think he seems like a lovely, lovely guy. And, you know, and like, seems like a good guy to have about the place. But yeah, I don't think, you know, with the team we've got, and obviously we're about to talk about Dylan Tate coming in, I don't think he's.
Obviously, Dave, you're quite right. He called me out on it on Pine Bovril when I made the. Like, rotten was probably a bit harsh. However, in the nicest possible way, see if he was in the Cove team playing against us, I'd be quite happy with it because we know his weaknesses. He doesn't tackle, he doesn't track back. He's a midfielder who has got a bit of skill about him, but he's not going to do them any favours in a scrap. So I think it'll be an interesting gig for him up there because Hartley, as much as I can't stand him on and you can't stand him, he doesn't suffer fools. So it'll be interesting to see how he gets on. And if obviously started a game already, but it'll be interesting to see if he starts loads of games between now and May.
Yeah, no, but we'll keep an eye on Oa and we'll keep an eye on Jordan as well, see how they're doing on. And then that obviously must have freed up some wages, and we out of nowhere we signed Dylan Tate, which was absolute shithousery at its finest. I don't know if anyone saw the tweet. Now there's two Hamilton Twitter accounts, one run by the team, and I'm led to believe the other one is done by someone else. It's very random, but they've got two Twitter accounts, right? And one Twitter account said, following meetings between our manager, our director of football and club owner, Seref Zengin, the club can announce that our loan player from Hibernian Football Club, Dylan Tate, will no longer feature for the club. We are now in a process of engagement with Hibernian Football Club at present and would anticipate to being able to provide our fans with a further update in due course. It was a very strangely worded message. And then obviously then he went back and then Hibs said, oh, he's away on loan to Falkirk. And there you go, up on the Twitter, Dylan Tate signed for Falkirk.
I wonder if there's been dialogue between Falkirk and Hibs about inquiring for Dylan, whether it was now or in the summer. And like Dylan's comments make it sound like he absolutely loves John McGlynn.
Yeah,
and
I heard the first match, yeah.
He's obviously been really keen for this to happen. And like obviously me and you were summarising. We'll never know because you'll never know the internal conversations between the clubs. But an absolutely fantastic bit of business, in my opinion. He's got an awful lot about him, the young lad. He scored already. after 6 minutes of playing. And it's a couple of fingers up at Hamilton as well, isn't it?
It certainly was. I mean, we'll get into the other game, but he certainly looked like a player when he came in. I do seem to think, though, this could mean that Stephen McGinn, again, you talk about Ola and Jordan, it leads me to believe with Dylan Tate there, we might not see Stephen McGinn in a Falkirk jersey again, unless we want, you know, if we are, look as if we're going to win the championship and John McGlynn gives him a run out, because I think, you know, he signed, that for me is the reason that he signed Dylan Tate. He's seen Stephen McGinn in recent performances, he just thought, I need someone else in there with an engine like Nesbitt. So I think that's probably the reason he's been signed. I mean, I want to see Stephen back in a Falkirk jersey, hopefully lifting up that that cup and, you know, finishing his Falkirk career like that. But I think that's looks, reading between the lines, that kind of looks like the reason that he's been brought in.
I think so. And you saw it in his cameo yesterday, didn't you? As you say, he's got a really good engine in him. Good eye for a pass, and we know he can finish quite cool.
That diag he did across the pool, that was a peach, nice. Man. Absolute peach. And brilliant. Cole Donaldson, extended to 2026 as well. Brilliant, Captain Cole. Fantastic. Really, really good to see him. He's come on leaps and bounds this season, Ross.
He has. I don't think it's just having
the STL.
I don't think it's just having sort of that partnership, but his confidence has grew wearing the armband.
Do you think I was going to ask that? Do you think, you know, having that armband on him, that kind of sense of responsibility has helped him?
No, I think it does. I think it has, genuinely. He's been phenomenal. Not just as a defender, but going forward, having the odd pop-out goal and stuff as well.
He's
locker. So, absolutely delighted. I would love to see Big Tam sign on as well. I don't know if that's something that's been discussed.
When that news happens,
you'll just burst.
That's got to happen. That has got to happen. Tam Lang, I'll be very excited if he signs on for another season. But again, I'll be up in the air depending on what happens for the rest of the season. And actually, shout out to Cole. He got in touch with us and said, could you do me a favour, guys? I don't know if you saw it yesterday at the match, but the ball, Cole made a clearance and I think it hit a wee guy in the stand and spilled Bovril over him, and he's got in touch. He got the armband at the end of the match. Cole made a beeline straight over to him at the end of the match. He got the Falkirk Daft captain's armband, which was amazing. But he says, can you get his parents to message me and I'll sort him out with something? So Cole, if you are listening to this, or you know the parents of the wee guy who got hit by the ball off Cole, if you reach out to Cole, he's got to sort you out with something. What a guy. Love that. Thank you, Cole. Things happening background wise, we've been looking for a replacement physio for Rachel for a wee while now, and we've got a new physio on board, Callum McAndrew. Welcome to the club. And first team performance analysis, Andy Tannehill, who I believe has worked with John McGlynn and Paul Smith at Raith Rovers in the past. So I think that'd be a great job of football analysis. I quite fancy that.
I think that must mean he goes to the teams that you're going to play next week. He goes to their games and watches them the week before, or is that right?
It's almost like a modern day scouting thing, but I think he gets all the the first team is analysis, first team performance analysis. I think he must do all the analytics with the team with all the data that he gets.
We've heard that before, haven't we? So they'll spend on a Monday morning. John McGlynn talked about it when he was on the podcast last year. On a Monday, they'll go through highlights of the game and the and what's not went well, and the analyst will have put that all together in a video. Welcome to the club. Hopefully this is the start of us kind of getting back to doing things like that. Like, I know we've had people in these roles in the most recent years, but the higher up the league we can go and higher up the divisions we can go, things like this will just expand even further, won't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And Carabao, the people that do the Carabao Cup fame, they are now our official drink partner, because we all need an official drinks partner. So listen, if they were on the Carabao on Saturday, you keep on the Carabao, boys, because if that's what's led to that performance, you just keep drinking the Carabao. I've never had a Carabao drink before, I don't think.
No, it's a new one on me.
I've had that. Is that the one with the kind of bullhorn, doesn't it?
Yes.
I think you do an apple one. I think I've had that. But anyway,
I've seen the brand before, but I've never tasted it. The as we put on Twitter last night, we've obviously been doing well on the Kunsel juice, i.e. water. So if that's the difference between water and Carabao, then bring it on.
Fantastic. Absolutely. Right, okay, we've got to also talk about Falkirk. There's so much to talk about this week. Falkirk Support Society, we mentioned them earlier on. They are now, after me going on about it for ages and ages and ages and ages, 25%, they're over the 25%, everyone. Fantastic news. I've been going on about it. So officially, they're over the 25%, which means they can block stuff now. Brilliant. So well done to the guys and getting that number up to where it should be to give them the power to veto stuff. So well done, guys. I'll stop going on about it now. I'm happy. I won't remind you again. There you go. So well done, Falkirk Support Society. Now a properly fan-owned club, which is lovely to hear. Right, okay, we've got to talk about it now. TNS is coming up next weekend, semi-final of the Trust Trophy. We've talked about this in the podcast for ages, doing a pub crawl, and we're actually just going to do it. We're all over it. The Falkirk Pub Trail, right? So this is been done by Falkirk Delivers. Pubs across you've got to do 8 pubs across Falkirk. You get a card and you get a t-shirt at the end. So me and Ross have signed up for it. We're going to do it before the TNS games. So if you want to get involved, we have got a route for you, Ross.
Yes, we do indeed. We spent literally minutes coming up with this route as well. So
literally, we're sitting at the football going, right, how are we going to do this? Right, so here's the proposed route and how I think we can work this out. Right, so meet 3:30, New Market Bar. I know it's the New Market Bar. It's fine. First drink there, cheapness. Excellent news. Up the street, along the high street, then we hit the toll booth, right?
Right.
Toll booth in there. I love the toll booth. Great. Best on a Saturday night when it's karaoke, and I've been on there a couple of times, as I've mentioned to you on the podcast. So toll booth. Then over to Icons. I believe there might be some football. We can watch, because this will be going on. We'll have Sky Sports going on during the day and all that sort of stuff. Into Icons. Then Welly, Scotia.
Mm-hmm.
So that takes us to 5, yeah?
Yep. And then down the hill.
Then down the hill behind the wall. Get on the bus.
Yep.
To behind the wall. Out to the game. Watch us beat TNS. Back to behind the wall after the game. Quick drinking by the wall, even though we've completed it, then up to the Wheat Sheaf and the Courtyard. Ollie, done. Down the road, kebab in hand, boom. There we done. Go.
Perfect. Sounds like a plan. So yeah, right. I think there's 5 or 6 of us going to be doing it, but anybody else who wants to come out and grab a couple of pints, even if you're not going to do the full thing. But yeah, join us at one of the pubs. Absolutely.
New Market Bar, 3:30 start, and in between 3:30 and 6:45, you'll find us at one of those pubs. So get involved if you fancy it. Looking forward to it. I cannot wait to be wearing that t-shirt on the podcast next week. That we'll wear it with pride. Right, okay. Right, now let's get into the Owl game, will we? And we've got to invite our guest pundit. It is Gavin McGill.
Hi guys, all right?
Yes, hi. Good mate.
Good to see you, Gav. Good to see you. Thank you very much for joining us on the podcast. If you're not watching the video version, he's sporting the Heritage top. Where does that rank in your favourite Falkirk tops? I noticed you're wearing a Falkirk top tonight as well, Wayno.
Yes, I've went old.
Yeah, I'd say this is probably the top 3 since I started supporting the club, easily.
I think that, remember we did the Strip World Cup? I think that Heritage top would have went far in that competition, by the way.
It's an
absolute cracker. Love it. Gavin, we need to ask you, of course, what was your first Falkirk game and how did you get into supporting the Bairns?
I was actually quite late coming to Falkirk, not until I was 14. So it would have been 2004, with the 4-5 promotion season.
Oh yeah.
So my game would have been, it was actually Airdrie at home, we won 5-0.
David
scored a screamer from about 30 yards, if I can remember. It maybe was about 20 yards, but I remember it was 30. And every year it goes a bit further back. But yeah, 2004-05 season was my first season through my... I met my stepdad that summer. Yeah. And he was a ticket holder. And obviously, missed the first game because we never met him until the start of August. And then I never missed a game that season with him.
What a cracking first season to join the club and start watching it as well.
So bad seeing Latipi, you know, Duffy. The back line was solid as ever. But we had, obviously, Andy Thompson, Messinho, Mick Green, Duffy, with Latipi in behind. It was just brilliant seeing. Obviously, we got the Challenge Cup that season as well. So we got the double. So I got called a glory hunter at school for supporting Falkirk after being that 13-14. I went to school in Cumbernauld, so they all called me a glory hunter. I was like, he's our sport raising Celtic. Come on.
Exactly.
A glory hunter in Division 1.
I know. And who's your favourite Falkirk player out with of the Holy Trinity?
Yeah, obviously it would have been Latipi. Yeah. But I've been thinking about it most of the day. And it's went from Daryl Duffy to Anthony Stokes, Arnaud Riera, Jerry Rafjes, and I've landed on Will Volks just for everything he's done around the club. Like, he's just a good guy, brilliant player, left it all in the park. The stuff he's done off the park, brilliant, and just an all-round good guy.
I mean, well, it's we're talking about doing a series of podcasts, Falkirk Daft meets, and I'd love to get Will. Why not? Just we'll drop Sheffield Wednesday and press people a message, because I'm sure some Will would be up for doing. You know, because he's such a nice guy. But what a guy.
That's a really good couple of names you've thrown out there, though, Gav. So Arnaud Riera, he didn't get enough credit for what he did.
Oh, Riera was an absolute Rolls Royce of a player, man. He was unbelievable. I just remember it just glided through games in that central midfield. Actually, that was the point. I was just getting names in the back of my tops and stuff like that. And I'd always pick my player, and I had Riera 4 in the back. And actually, the old reissued with the badge, the Highlander badge,
the
anniversary kit. I've got that there with Riera 4 in the back of it. It's absolutely what a player, man. Afies as well. You forget about Big Gerard as well. He was such a classy player.
Yeah, if it could run more than 60 minutes, he'd have been one of the old firm within a couple of seasons easily. Like, he was that good.
He was unbelievable.
Hit a screamer now and again as well.
What about Big Gerard Afies is up to these days? We'll need to track him down. I've got a thing. I like to go on LinkedIn, right, and track down people and try and connect with them on LinkedIn. My thing is finding 90s indie bands and making friends with them on LinkedIn. Don't ask.
We need to start doing that with footballers now.
Well, exactly. No. We need to look at Big Gerard Afies and try and get him on the show. That'd be amazing. All right, listen, without further ado, let us talk about Alloa yesterday. Me and Ross just made it, and I'm sure as hell glad that I did. 5-0 to Falkirk. Morrison Miller, Henderson Tate, and Shanley with the goals. First off, though, we must talk about the fact that Sam Long wasn't go. I think when you got the team sheets, that was the one big surprise on it after the last couple of weeks that Sam's name was on there. Ross, your reaction, I got your reaction straight away when I announced the team while you were driving to the game.
That's it. We were driving, weren't we, when the team sheet came out. And that was the only name I was surprised with. I thought after the last couple of weeks, there's been an awful lot of chat about Sam, and I genuinely thought Hogarth would be back in, but not to be. And he had a big couple of saves, Sam. I know we'll talk about it in a minute. He had a couple of big saves early on, which I'm sure gave him a lot of confidence. But Gav, I don't know if you were of the same mindset. I just expected to see Hogarth back.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been surprised if he had been back in the team. But as you say, Long did do well on the. It had nothing to do in the second half, but the first half, he had a good couple of claims for crosses. And had a shot in the first kind of, it was the second minute, I'm sure.
Aye, Scoogle hit it, yeah.
Ollie, and he done really well, he gathered it up. So, yeah, no complaints that.
I think that he needs a big confidence in him. And I actually heard the stat the other day that he's kept more clean sheets than any other goalkeeper in League One. He's kept 8 clean sheets this season, Sam Long.
Yeah, that's. He's not a bad keeper. Like, I know we've said this before, they've both got pros and cons. I think I'm still probably leaning more towards Hogarth because he's our keeper. And for me, he's maybe just shading the qualities of the two keepers. But He did do well yesterday. There was no denying it. He had a far better game.
Yeah, he did. He did, like Gavin said, he didn't have much to do in that second half, which we'll get to in a minute. But those confidence saves that he got early on in the game, when Alloa were actually, in fairness to Alloa, that's the best they played against us all season. There was a point where there was 10 minutes in that first half where they had a lot of possession of the ball. They were knocking about quite comfortably. And I have to say, I was really impressed by Taylor Stephen, their number 11, that he went past Leon McCann a few times. Like, he just put on the afterburners and went by Leon McCann a few times. And I was like, oh, he looks like a player. And he also hit a free kick in that second half as well.
Yeah, I thought he'd done really well, because that's where we were kind of standing, just at that back left, the standing area. And he went past McCann a few times. No real end product when he got there, but that's just because he's so left-footed.
Yeah,
he got on the right foot and he kind of cut back, and then obviously Tam Lang he can deal with everything himself most of the time, so.
No. I mean, obviously that's what led to the first goal, was Tam absolutely smashed him. It went right. I mean, at the time we were all going, oh my God, that's a foul. The referee's had a nightmare there. But actually watching it back, because we were at the other end of the ground, Gav, but watching it back on Falkirk TV, he's went and just put in a big strong tackle, Tam. Yeah. He just went boom, out the way. And that's where the first goal came from. The big challenge for him. Ball gets up the park. Morrison cuts in, and it's a very weak shot, and like we're behind it, and went, how is that went? And I mean, PJ Morrison shouldn't be getting beat at his near post like that, but I'll take it, thank you very much.
Yeah, from where we were starting, I was kind of waiting for a cutback when Morrison was that, because he was that far to the right. I thought he's going to just kind of cross goal and somebody's going to tap into the back post. From where we were standing, it was really hard to see because you're kind of level to the ground, and surprised it's snuck in. But then I remembered PJ Morrison's and goals. And he doesn't like his near post at all, so...
Yeah, not, you're right, Gav, he had previous even at four.
You wonder if, like, obviously Morrison's thought that as well, when he's played with him in training so many times. I mean, that's actually two ex-goalkeepers were faced within back-to-back, Paddy Martin last week and then PJ Morrison this week as well. It was quite funny, we were stood at the game as well with Nicky's mum, Jen, who was at the game. So she was obviously gutted that Nicky wasn't playing, and then also trying to keep up with the Dumbarton score, because Jay's hit Dumbarton as well, so she was trying to watch both her boys at the same time. But
a song,
she did, and I'm going to put this to everyone. Jen's had a great, I mean, Jen, like me, is a fan of Tam Lang, and why Jen came up with a suggestion for a song for Tam Lang. Ultras, young team, I hope you're listening. I want to hear this at the TNS game. So the words to Shang-a-Lang, we go, Tam-a-Lang, 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 Tam-a-Lang. Then you'll have to make up the words from there. He plays for Falkirk. Right, so you need to make... Right, we've given you the chorus. You need Ultras, you need to make up the words in the middle. By the way, there's too many... I can't keep up with the Falkirk songs now. I don't know the words to them. I feel like an absolute... tool.
Well, listen, you'll be fine come Saturday, because we're back in with the...
Oh, that's true. But like the Callum Morrison one, I get most of it, but then I lose my way with it sometimes. I don't know what they're singing at certain parts, so I need an actual song sheet. If you could provide that and we could put it up on our Twitter so everyone can join in, that would be great as well. But there you go, Tam Lang for Tam Lang. Are we having it?
Yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah, definitely. I'll catch one eventually.
Right. I'll start it on Saturday. I'm going to write words this week. I'm going to write some words down. He's big and he's sexy. Right, I'll think of it this week. I'll think of it this week, and then I will start it on Saturday. If we're in the South Stand, Ross, I'm going to start it. You're going to join in, right? Gaff, where are you sitting?
At the moment, I'll be at work, but hopefully not.
Right, okay. I'm going to start it. You guys join in, right? Wherever you're sitting, you join in. I'll put the words up on the old social media, and when, you know, we're winning and Tam's scored a header, we'll start the song, right?
Right.
You're with me, everyone? Tam-a-Lang. Thank you very much, Jen Hogarth, for that excellently inspired chant. Right, second half, we get into that. The only other chance, really, but at the end of the first half was Cal Miller, great cross in. To McKeever, who was just a wee bit too wide for it. Calvin Miller's crossing is fantastic, isn't it?
One of the best I've seen in a Falkirk shirt.
Brilliant. Unbelievable. You would love it if you were a striker like McKeever. You would absolutely love that service that he provides. Morrison can be sometimes hit and miss with his crosses, but what I like about Calvin, and you know, is he looks to try and get, you know, it's not one of these wide players that hits a third of the pitch and then puts a ball in like that, because when you put balls like that, the goalkeeper, what Calvin Miller likes to do is get to, you know, the byline of the six-yard line, much in the way our great and glorious Kevin McAllister did. And I'm sure Crunchy would absolutely take his hat off for that, because we were speaking to Crunchy at the Brockville night. Someone tried to make the comparison between him and Callum Morrison. I don't think Crunchy's the biggest fan of Callum Morrison, mainly because he doesn't do what I think he would like a winger to do, and that is hit the byline and get a ball across the box.
Yeah, that was the feeling that you got from speaking to Crunchy. He obviously likes him because he scores goals, which is a big part of the game. But I think from memory, when Crunchy was talking about it, he would love him to just kind of beat the man, get the ball in, get a really good, like, across the 6 yard or 8 yard area. And Calvin is doing that just now. He's definitely mixing it up.
Certainly is. So Morrison gets his, and then he becomes the provider straight off the bat in the second half. Great ball in over the top for Calvin Miller to run onto. He got one-on-one with the goalkeeper, and it was a cool, composed finish. And from that point, it was game over, wasn't it?
Pretty much, yeah. We were all seeing at half-time, next goal.
Yeah.
Then it's game over, because it's, obviously they started well yesterday, Oliver, but even in the first half, they faded a little bit. But as soon as that second goal went in, it was game over. And then obviously the third came not too far after, and then it was definitely game over. And that's why I said, get the subs on, get the boys off, and obviously... No. That's exactly what happened, thankfully.
Before that third goal, though, we had the penalty shout. Now, I right in front of me there and then, I went, that is a penalty. I listened to obviously Sean and Josh on the highlights. They weren't 100% convinced. Where do you sit with it, Ross?
I thought it was a penalty at the time. I thought it was a Stonewall penalty at the time. Having watched it back, I still think it's a penalty. Even when you watch... I watched both highlight packages, and it was maybe a touch clearer on the Alloa when the boy had his arm, and even the Alloa commentator says, oh, he's got his hands up. And then I think everybody, because you see fans behind the goals, which is where we three of us were, and they're celebrating a penalty already.
I was celebrating. I was, as soon as they blew the whistle, a penalty. And then I was shocked.
His arm the other way, and you're like, what the fuck is he doing here?
Yeah, it definitely wasn't a dive.
No,
if it wasn't a penalty, it definitely wasn't a dive. Like there was contact. The commentator did say he thought maybe Miller stood on the ball and kind of fell over that way, which is possible. It's hard to tell from the angle you're standing up behind the goals.
I don't think he'd stepped on the ball. From what I saw, I just thought the guy had two hands on him and he went down under it. But listen, he didn't give a penalty. Miller got booked for a yellow card, but it didn't really matter. We went on. We scored the third goal. Big Hendo, I was delighted because this week with Jordan Allen moving, we had Jordan Allen's goal sponsorships this year, thinking that Jordan was going to be the main man. How wrong we were. And we got asked the question, would you like to shift your goal sponsorship? Now, my heart said Tam Lang, because he was up for offer for goal sponsorships. The head, however, Big Hendo, and that's him got 4 in the last 6, yeah. I believe, 2-2. Big Hendo in there at the back post, another set piece, ball comes in. God knows why Hendo was on his own, but he just had that wee tap in at the back, you know, in at the back post. Beautiful.
He was meant to be marking him, though, from the highlights. Big Salmon was meant
to. Was it? Just let him go, and he just stood there, and easy. Oh, he's going to score this season. Yeah. Over right enough. That was on the line near enough, but...
when he slide tackled it into it, it was brilliant. Then it was just like, we're definitely up the road now with the 3 points. So much so that obviously we had a game of volleyball in the terraces as well. Like, oh, that was such shit. So I was just like, oh no, this is going to come back to bite on us on the arse.
Oh no, listen, it was a bit of fun, and I enjoy stuff like that, especially when you could tell from the sideline, though. I looked over, John McGlynn was absolutely furious that this was not the game, and then you just knew as soon as they get the TJ Morrison got another ball, somebody shouted, chuck it back on.
I did. I know. Listen, if McGuinn comes out and says, "Don't do that again, boys," we'll all listen and just go, "Right, sorry, Mr. McGuinn, sorry, Mr. McGuinn, we won't do that again."
Even the Alloa steward behind the goals was
pissing himself.
Rinsing his celebrity.
I know. I know. Aidan Nesbitt's so unlucky. That I was right behind that shot, and I thought it was in. We hit it so sweetly just after we got the third. Oh my god, it just came off the bar, and then obviously Spencer had the follow up as well. But I thought, see if this goes in, what a goal that is. And I felt sorry for Aidan because it was so close.
Yeah, peach of a hit. Like, that was obviously cracked the bar, and Spencer was unlucky not to get the follow up as well.
Yeah.
Even Nesbitt's shot had went in though. Like, it's even sexier when it does clip the bar and goes in.
In off the underside of the bar would have been a beautiful thing. But unlucky for Aidan, it wasn't long after that. We brought on five subs, and like, it's just brilliant that you can do that. You've got that quality on the bench that you can do that with, because it's like, wrap the boys in cotton wool that need to be. So obviously Hendo was on a booking, wasn't he? Was it Hendo that made that, or was it Cole that made that really professional foul to stop the guy going through?
I think Henderson thought about it, and then Donaldson did do it.
Yeah.
that was what I thought as well. And when you see the highlights back, Hendo has taken a wee swipe at him and he's missed him. Cole's done the needful. But was Hendo already booked? I can't remember. Had he been booked earlier in the game?
I don't think he had. Maybe I'm wrong. Obviously, we brought off all the big hitters. So Miller, Morrison, McKeever. I'm surprised. Was that? Yeah. Nesbitt went off as well. And then Hendo as well. So all those players, but the five that we were talking about this, I don't like him doing that, bringing off five, because I've just got the fear that someone's going to get injured. Do you know what I mean? And we're going to be left with 10 men. That does give me the fear slightly. But I mean, the five that came on played outstanding. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. And let's talk about Dylan Tate for a minute.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. You know, talk about making a debut. He came on and he looked the part straight off the bat. It looked like he hadn't missed a beat. Obviously, John McGuinn had him at Wraith Rovers, a big fan of him. Hibs don't seem to fancy him, but I don't know why. He came on and he looked...
He's been loaned out more than a scud book in your teenage years, eh? he's got something about him, though. Like, I've seen him and I've remembered him previously from, like, he's got a good name in the game, and I think I was really excited when we signed him last week, and he seemed really excited to be playing with us because of John and Paul. So let's see what we can get out of him the next few months. He's obviously not able to play against TNS, but I'm sure he'll be absolutely desperate to play against Akis on the 17th of February.
Oh, I bet he is. I mean, all the subs were involved in that fourth goal as well. There was lots of linking up between all of us involved. And what a great team goal it was. Like, that little poke through through Meg from Shanley. And Kate's finish was just sublime. Just that wee poke past the keeper was just, it was beautiful, really good. I mean, must have been his third, fourth touch of the match, and that's him scoring his first goal for Falkirk.
It was a very...
You could tell he really enjoyed it as well, and also the celebrations with the team, the whole team was over.
Yeah. Did you see the club's social media update? I don't know if it was at the goal or if it was later on in the evening, but they put something like, he had a positive influence. And that's a dig at Aki's social media post, which had said he had a negative, Rankin had said he'd had a negative influence on the team. So that's obviously our wee sort of bite back at Aki's again.
Oh, aye, no, tremendous stuff. And then he continued to, and that this diag, the diag he sent over to the far side to Finn Yeats, who was then fouled. And then the referee wasn't going to give it, and the linesman gave it instead. It was like, Jesus. And then from that, Ethan Ross hit the post as well. We just looked flying. We were absolutely flying.
If we had scored 8 or 9 goals, I don't think they would have complained. Like, genuinely, we were that obsessive and relentless in the second half. We really were.
Imagine if Ethan Ross had scored as well, and then he obviously hit the post, and but then you had the subs at it again. Tate Aguiman was on fat, like absolutely just taking the piss. Big Alfie. And again, it was another brilliant team goal. Just the combination play was unbelievable. When Shanley, with a great finish as well, you know, took it really, really well. And like, brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. I was just like, can we just keep playing? This is brilliant. Yeah. We were unbelievable in that second half. Unbelievable.
Yeah, but Alfie done really well for that fifth goal. So it was kind of, we're passing it, and it kind of slowed down a little bit. But then he just turned around, whipped it around the corner, and obviously Shanley was there, and it was a brilliant finish.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting, obviously, next week. We'll talk about the TNS game in just a bit, but there's going to be a lot of those boys, obviously, cup-tied as well, isn't it? So Ethan Ross is cup-tied, Shanley's cup-tied, Tate's cup-tied.
Shanley's not cup tied.
Shanley not cup tied.
No, Shanley didn't play for Edinburgh. Edinburgh lost in the very first round that they could play, and he didn't feature. Maybe he was injured. But I really like Ryan Shanley. Everything I've seen about him so far.
Yeah.
We don't worry about McKeever going off now. As in, what are we going to do? Because Shanley can come on. He gets the flick ons. He holds the ball up. He brings people in. He does everything as much as Ross McKeever's been doing so far, and he what a cracking finish! It was no more than he deserved.
Absolutely, and a cracking end to the match as well. Loved it. Let's see what John McGuinn thought of it though.
John, you said before the match that you were looking for a reaction from the team to bounce back. I don't think you could get a better reaction than that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, no, exactly. We're looking for a reaction. His first half game was nip and tuck. I think Alloa put a lot into the first half, a hell of a lot into the first half. But we had opportunities. It was a good goal when it came. Callum Morrison's had a really, really good strike. Managed to get in at the near post. But we had other opportunities. Tom, we should have scored with a header. Thought Big Ross maybe should have done better on one of the occasions. So, really, really professional first half, coming at half-time, 1-0. Sam had a couple of saves. I think Skuga had a shot for the edge of the box. There was another shot for the edge of the box, I'm not sure who it was. But Sam's made a couple of saves. Pages had a couple of saves at the other end. But then the second half, once we got the second goal, a ball over the top. I think Callum Morrison's played a really good ball over the top for Calvin Miller, who's gone clear and stuck it away. And then after that, the goals kept coming with Liam Henderson, you know, took his goal really, really well. Dylan Tate and Ryan Shanley. So five different goal scorers, clean sheet. Makes a statement, because everyone probably, the couple of the Edinburgh result and then the Bonnyrigg result, people probably getting a little bit nervy. But within the squad, within the group, within the training, within the club, you know, we wanted to come out today and make a statement.
And that was a statement, not a question, that we made yesterday. We needed that. There was a lot of grumblings. There was a lot of our supporters piling on, going, oh, the bubble's burst for Falkirk. That's them. You know, that's the McGuinn thing happening where he's bottling it. But that was some way to answer it, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, he's absolutely bang on. It was exactly what we needed and we got. So,
yeah,
long may it continue, because another few of them, and it might only need another few of them. And I think it'll be done, John. I know, yeah. I was a bit curious today with my when I'll be printing up the championship.
The Hamilton game is obviously mad, because I think Cole will probably win their game against Broder, which means our game against Cole will be rescheduled. So, it means our next game is against Hamilton in the league. You know, they've got to play, obviously, they'll be playing their league game. They're down at Queen of the South, who are in very good form at the moment. In fact, I'm going to be having a word with my friend Marvin Bartley, who I'll say this week, and I'll certainly be asking, hear what those Aki's players were saying about you, mate. Get that, honestly. Call you an arsehole, they were. Call you an arsehole. I'll G up Big Marv this week. But yeah, that's going to be tough with the form at Queen of the South. And the fact that it is at Palmerston is going to be tough for them. If they don't win there, and we're 11 points clear going into the game against Hamilton, and we beat Hamilton, were 14 points clear on the same amount of games. That's a tough, tough mountain to climb. I mean, that if that was to be the scenario, you would, I mean, it would take something extraordinary to absolutely blow it. But that could be the scenario going into the Hamilton game. We will see what happens.
It would be an amazing scenario.
It would be an amazing scenario, but we won't count our chickens before
Hamilton
that.
Hamilton will obviously play on the 10th of February as well. Because obviously they're out the Scottish Cup too.
Yeah.
And I think it's Annan they've got that weekend. And Annan are finding a little bit of fighting form, probably because of the Edinburgh situation. Granted,
because they now know they're maybe now it's given Annan are pretty much going, right, well, I think we're pretty safe, but they'll be trying to fight out that playoff place.
Playoff situation. So, yeah, it's probably not a gimme.
Yeah, aye. We certainly in the next quarter have the best kind of, in terms of our game, we've got Montrose at home, we've got Hamilton at home. They were obviously going to be Banskins, and we've got Queen of South away, haven't we? Queen of South away, so
Edinburgh at home as well.
So let's see how it goes. Anyway, let's see what you guys are saying before we get ahead of ourselves. Gavin says, "This I don't know if this is you, Gavin. Impossible to pick a man of the match from the 16 players who played. We're so back, baby."
Yep, that was me. Yep,
there we go. I'd put that in before I knew you were coming on, Gav. There we go. We're so back, baby. There we go.
There we go. That's a good title for the episode potential as well, isn't it? Baby. Ryan says we were different class. We play at a pace that teams just can't handle. Hendo, Nesbitt and Spencer boss the game. Both Cal's clinical as usual. Congrats to Tate and Shanley getting the first goals for the club as well. I actually thought Alloa were better than the previous games in that first half.
I thought they were as well. I mean, at the stadium, like that game where we're at was one of the best performances I've seen from a Falkirk team in that first half, and I thought Alloa actually played the game quite well in the first half, but it wasn't to be. They didn't get any of us in the second half. And Grant says, 5-star performance. We not only need a win, but performance to back it up, and that's exactly what we got. Perfect response to those who thought we bottled it, and even better was Hamilton dropping more points. Tate's goal, easily a contender for goal of the season. Brilliant move and a sublime finish. I'm surprised the Falkirk TV commentator didn't say all 5 goals were goal of the season contenders. I don't think Hendo's was goal of the season contender.
What's that? Is that a dig? I'm confused.
I don't know. I think Sean said goal of the season contender, which is quite rightly because they've been absolute crackers.
We have had an awful lot of goal of the season.
I know. I have to agree with that. That team goal with the two of them could potentially be in there. I mean, you can't, but then Ethan Ross's volley and big call, it's going to be tough, but at the moment it might be Ross's volley that's getting it for me.
It was a tidy finish, that was the Fermartin Scottish Cup game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Chris says, a complete performance. Big sexy Tam Lang had salmon pocketed. Wingers were deadly. The midfield controlled it. The defenders were solid. The most telling part is that we can bring on 5 subs all at once and still look like beating anyone in this league. Come on, the Bairns.
Craig says, most comfortable game so far. Spencer was immense again. We are a step above 90% of the league.
Too true. Peter says, absolutely outstanding performance. Every player contributing. Alloa started to get a little head of steam for a small period in the first half. However, Tam Lang put an end to that with a crunching tackle. We never looked back from then on. Absolutely magic. See, going back to Peter's point there about the tackle. Yep. No, I said this at the time. It was almost like, because Tam Lang just sort of looked like over his shoulder, as if like, remember in Rocky, like if he dies, he dies.
Yeah. And in fairness, Alloa can have no complaints over that goal as well, because they had the ball and they could have easily have knocked out and they didn't. So,
yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Alex says, excellent result after 2 difficult results, even if one was a cup game, but feel the 3 games after TNS are huge. We'll happily take 7 points in all honesty. Again, no silly cards and hopefully no injuries.
Colin says, we beat Hamilton in our next league match, assuming no Cove game, then the race is done. Massive pressure on them now to go to Queens away and win whilst we're on cup duty. Back to our best.
Absolutely. And finally, Davey Brune. Now, if you haven't seen Davey Brune's thread about almost getting married, please check it on our socials. It's absolutely fantastic. What a story it is. But David Brun says, that was near the sound of the bottle crashing 2 weeks ago. Some cunt just knocked over a champagne glass. So thanks for this. Thanks for that, for Davey. Right, Falkirk Daft rated of the week, and this is a tough, tough decision to make.
It's tough this week.
I would probably, if you had to pick someone from that team, probably Brad Spencer. I thought he was untouchable.
We've not mentioned his name once from the analysis, and I think he was, again, the last time he played against Alloa, he was unbelievable. I think I feel terrible we've not even mentioned him throughout that whole analysis of the match, because he was outstanding. I'm going to second you with Brad Spencer, Gav.
No issues with Brad getting it. The other player for me, and we've said his name loads, obviously, was Calvin Miller. I thought, goal aside, he was just frightening again yesterday. But listen, happy to go with Brad, because Brad, he's so good that there's an expectation that he's just going to be amazing almost week on week. And it's only really when he has a poor game that he gets an awful lot of chat. But that's rare as well.
He loves coming up to the supporters as well. Oh, he gives it the old, come on, you know. Love it. Love it with a bit of fist pumping. All right, Falkirk Dafty. I don't think this, I can't see anyone in the Falkirk side who could be registered as a Dafty. There's no one there. No. The only one I might say is Leon McCann, because he got beat a couple of times off that boy, Taylor Stevens. That's the only one I could see. But he had some good balls into the box, especially that one for Shanley, which he missed at the end as well.
I'd be struggling to pick a Falkirk player, even Leon, to be honest. But I'll probably go with the ref for the shot.
The ref, the penalty decision was terrible. I'll take the ref then. We'll take the ref. Gav?
Yeah, probably the ref.
Hat trick.
Special mention to the We Are Hamilton Twitter account, since you're having a bit of a meltdown over the last couple of days.
Yes, we've been enjoying that with popcorn in our hand over the last couple of days. Our friends over the Only Ackies or Ackies Only podcast, they're not happy boys, and we've been liking a lot of their tweets. But you know, still a lot of games to play. Still, you know, before this league is hopefully done, but a lot of games, a lot of distance to go, and fingers crossed we can get it done. Gavin, thank you so much for coming on. Really enjoyed your company.
Thank you very much for having us. Speak to you again, hopefully soon.
Brilliant, brilliant. And remember, 3:30, the Newmarket Bar for the Falkirk Pub Crawl.
I'll not see him because my work might be listening.
That was a really nervous. That was a really nervous laugh there, Gav. So yeah, we'll take a. We'll give us two. Give us a wink if you can make it. Yeah, right, okay, brilliant. If you want to be a pundit just like Gav, please get involved. We'd love to have you on. Drop us a DM on Twitter, Facebook, or email us pundit@falkirkdaft.co.uk.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
So every week on Falkirk Daft, we like to invite our opponents or a supporter for one of our opponents on to give us a preview of the game, and we're playing TNS in the Trust Trophy semi-final this weekend, and we've managed to track down a TNS supporter who is actually on a supporters bus as we speak. He's just been to the TNS women's game. It's Michael Davies. How are you doing, Michael?
Hello.
Is that the gambler by Kenny Rogers I can hear in the background, Michael?
Yeah, that's correct. not my choice.
class is always gets a sing-song going, though. Brilliant, brilliant. Well, listen, thank you very much for joining us on Falkirk Daft, Michael. It's good to get an insight into TNS ahead of the match on Saturday. You guys are having a hell of a season, you know?
Yeah, it's been brilliant so far. It's been on a great unbeaten run domestically. Of course, won the Welsh League Cup only last week. Into the quarterfinals of the Welsh Cup, looking to defend that trophy, top of the Cymru Premier, and of course also in the SPFL Trust Trophy semi-finals against you guys next weekend. So a lot to look forward to.
I mean, I did see that result. You're beating Swansea City 5-1 last week as well. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, that was their under-21 team that they turned out for. But that was it was a really good result though against a team that competed really well in that competition to get to the final. So it's the first of hopefully a quadruple from a new Saints perspective.
Well, I mean, the league looks like it's in the bag. You're miles ahead of Connah's Quay. I think that's 15 points now ahead of Connah's Quay.
Yeah, that, that would be about right. I haven't checked recently, but yeah, it's 15 points sounds about right from what I've heard.
It must be a nice feeling not having to check the league table, Michael.
That's it. Yeah, it's just about picking up another win.
No, absolutely. I mean, phenomenal. I mean, 77 goals scored in 22 games. Unbelievable. And your main man, a guy we know very well at Falkirk, Declan McManus, 29 goals this season.
Yeah, Declan McManus has had an excellent season. Well, he was out for about 4 months injured, but his first touchback from injury came on the pitch, took a free kick, 25 yards out, went into the top corner of that. But that's Declan McManus for you.
Yeah,
he's a quality striker. We were gutted when he left us, and it was in Ireland, I think, went to, from UKI, from Ireland, didn't he?
Yeah, I honestly don't remember too much about Declan McManus's past, to be honest with you, but since he's joined us, he's been incredible, and yeah, he did well in a European campaign a couple years ago when we got to the third qualifying round of the Conference League and lost to Victoria Pilsen on penalties. He has done really well, and he scored actually in this latest European qualifying campaign against BK Häcken in the Champions League away from home. Unfortunately, we lost that match, lost a tie, unfortunately, but still, he showed his quality in that one.
That's amazing, the fact that Declan McManus has got a Champions League goal underneath on it. Unbelievable. So, I mean, are you guys excited about this trophy? I mean, it's a strange one that you get. Like, obviously, the Welsh teams, the Northern Irish teams are involved in it. How do you guys feel about it?
It's something to really look forward to as a football club, to be honest with you. It's certainly something not to nudge. Obviously, Connors Quay got to the final of the SPFL Trust Trophy back in 2019. So hopefully the club will be looking to at least match that and look to win it. So it's obviously a trophy that the club has never won before, so it's certainly one to add to the mantelpiece. And I know Craig Harrison, the manager, it's on his target list to certainly win.
I think, Michael, it's an odd one for us because obviously we've won it 4 times, which is sort of the most any Scottish teams has won it so far. So for us, it's a bit of a special trophy as well. We've not won it in a few years. It's been, 12 years since we last won it. But it's weird that we're obviously going to be playing yourselves because you just mentioned Connors Quay. We played them. I think it might have even been the season that they made the final. And they were a big, strong unit of a team. I don't know how they're playing or how they're... I know they're second in the league just now, but they were a sort of big, physical team. What would you say is the style for TNS?
It's very much keeping the ball on the park, looking to pass it up the field, and certainly score from playing proper football. And that's what's been happening in the league, Welsh Cup and League Cup so far this season.
Yeah. Do you know much about Falkirk yourself, Michael?
I know, of course, that you're having an excellent season, currently top of the Scottish League One. You were unbeaten yourselves for a long period the time until you got knocked out of the Scottish Cup recently by Ronnie Grigg Rose. So yeah. nothing to be knocking there with the unbeaten run before that Scottish Cup game.
Yeah. So out with the Declan McManus, who is he fit to play?
Yes. Yeah. From what I know, he's back. He's back to full fitness now. The chances are he might be coming off the bench against you guys. I'd probably back Brad Young to start. Based off current form, but you could even play both Brad and who used to be at Aston Villa, was in the Youth Cup as a player with Aston Villa, and also, of course, got Declan there. So you could play the two, but probably the chances are he might come off the bench next week.
All right, okay. That he's bound to score against his former team as well. So that's good news. So Brad and Declan are the two players to look out for. Is there anyone else in the TNS side that we should keep an eye out for?
Oh, definitely Ryan Brubble, to be perfectly honest. He's been the main creative threat for the new Saints for a long period of time. And he's certainly a player that I back to do well again next week. And I wouldn't put it a pass against him scoring.
Michael, we saw on social media that there's a bus or two coming up from yourselves. Are you able to make the trip north as well?
Yes, I'll be going there. I'll be staying the night on Saturday night. So hopefully it should be a good weekend overall.
Fantastic. You can join us in our pub. We're going for a pub crawl on Saturday, Michael, so you can join us after the game.
Go on then. Yeah, that should be a good one. Where do you go?
Oh, well, we'll drop us a DM, Michael, and we'll let you know.
Oh, that's perfect. Thank you.
No worries, brilliant. Right, listen, we look forward to the game on Saturday, Michael. What's your predictions? What are you feeling?
Oh, I'm going to say 2-0 to the New Saints. I'm confident about the game.
Right, you'll hope they'll hopefully be dancing in the streets of Total Network Solutions.
hopefully, and all the way to the final.
Ross, what are you thinking? I mean, it's a complete unknown for us. You know, it's great that Michael's come on, and we obviously know Declan McManus, but what are you thinking?
I'm sure Declan will be trying like an absolute beast. I think he will score, but I think 2-1
Falkirk. 2-1 Falkirk. And I'll go for a 1-0, looking at the form of, you know, the fact they've not lost a game this season, the New Saints. I'll take a 1-0 win at the cup final, fingers crossed. And it might go all the way to extra time. Penalties, you never know.
It's a late enough game, is it?
I know, that's true. We want to get to the pub after it. Brilliant. Michael, thank you so much for joining us in Falkirk Daft. Really appreciate your time.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, cheers for having me on. Thank you.
Brilliant. We'll see you Saturday for a pint.
Yeah. See you
nice
then.
One. All right, brilliant.
All the best.
Thank you, mate. Thank you.
And good luck.
Michael Davies there, one of the TNS supporters, giving us a wee insight into the game this Saturday. Our Statle, however, has been on with us as well. Ross Donald, our resident Statle on Falkirk Daft, says, "Hi guys, some TNS info. Play at the Austrian Shropshire, England, coast of the Welsh border, and in Welsh Cymru." I think that's how you do it. Premier League and are the only full-time team backed by chairman and owner Mike Harris. They claim, says Donald, a turnover of $2 million, taken over by Total Network Solutions in 1997 and qualified to play in Europe most seasons and have played clubs like Anderlecht, CSK Sofia and Copenhagen. Nice. And Matt, you'd love that as Falkirk supporter, wouldn't you? Jesus. In 2005, they lost 3-0 in both ties to Liverpool. New All-Seater Stadium recently built, holding £3,000, cost of $3 million. Declan McManus, our ex-striker, obviously has been there 3 seasons and gets paid more than he did in Scotland. Did not know that.
Wouldn't shock me if they've got Champions League.
Money, I wouldn't so shock you. They, like us, are undefeated in the league this season. They're clearly a good side with good players and should not be underestimated. We heard there from Michael about some of the players that they've got, and I don't think they should be underestimated. You know, to go 22 games unbeaten in a league, you know, we heard from Michael there, they've just won a cup there last weekend. They're in the final of the other cup, they've scored 77 goals and have a goal difference of 63 in 22 games.
Yeah, listen, it's when you look at the league table, it obviously doesn't lie. They've scored an awful lot of goals. We've scored an awful lot of goals as well. They've not shipped many. I see they've lost 14. We've lost 13, I think, we're it.
Yeah.
So it's on paper, it's a brilliant tie. I don't think any of us know enough about the quality of the Welsh League, though, do we? Because even when you watch, like I had I was looking on YouTube and stuff like that. It's hard to tell because you don't really get a good gauge as to what the standard's like on a weekly basis.
They'll be saying the same. Saying League One Scotland. I mean, how good can League One in Scotland be, you know?
Totally agree. So it's a fascinating game. I'm really looking forward to it. I want to win the tournament. I don't think I'll lose any sleep if we get put out because the league is the goal, right? But it would be really nice to win the tournament. And we're obviously, if we do get through this game, we'll play either Raith or Airdrie. And let's not forget, we owe both of these teams something for very different reasons. Airdrie, because of how the situation went with the playoffs in May. And let's not forget how Raith were given the title a few years back, halfway through a season. So, big opportunity on Saturday. I'm really looking forward to it. We're looking forward to the afternoon and the evening anyway, but the match itself, I think, will be a cracker.
Yeah, fingers crossed, and fingers crossed for a Falkirk win.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
And that is it for this week's Falkirk Daft. Thanks very much for listening or watching us. Rate, review, comment below. That would be brilliant. Remember, hit that little bell button so you'll get a notification of when every episode drops. You can buy merch as well, of course. Merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. It's where you'll get all your Falkirk Daft hoodies, t-shirts, dog bandanas, baby grows.
Cooking aprons, there was a couple of them.
The cooking aprons, you can get a cooking apron with Falkirk Daft on it, whatever you want. We've got it at our merch store. And join the Discord channel, lots of chat in there about yesterday's game as well. You can, that's all details of that. If you don't know what Discord is, it's basically just a fans forum for the young team, but you can be an old team and join it as well. But join that down there, all the details are there, get involved in the chat and that. And we will see you hopefully at the Falkirk Daft Pub Crawl, if you fancy it, 3:30, Newmarket Bar, and we'll go from there. It's going to be four or five of us. Just a wee donder around the town to get a t-shirt before the TNS game. Should be a good laugh. And it'll be good to, if any of the TNS boys are about as well, it'll be good to have them on board as well.
Well, I saw that the buses that they're that are coming up, John, I think they leave about 10 o'clock in the morning. And I'd imagine they'll probably get to Falkirk maybe, what, about 5 or 6 o'clock. So yeah, it might be a bit tight.
Maybe afterwards, because they're staying over. So I'm glad they're staying over. Imagine if they were going back the same night. Jesus.
Yeah, that would be a hell of a trip back. But listen, it sounds like there's going to be maybe 50 or 60 of them coming up. I don't know if it's much more than that, but fair play to them, it's a long way to go. Yeah. And let's not forget, it's on TV, so it's on the Welsh channel, the S4C or something it's called, and it's on BBC Albertia. I'm really hoping that the TV doesn't impact the home crowd too much. I think it's not going to be 5,000, but I'd be shocked if it's anywhere near that. But see if we could get 3,500 in the ground, I think that would be brilliant.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Looking forward to it. It should be a good day out anyway, no matter what. And that is it for this week's Falkirk Daft. Thank you very much for listening. 5-star performance against our 5-goal. It's been a good weekend. The beers tasted sweet as all this weekend. And fingers crossed we can keep the run going. Like I say, it's probably a free hit next week, but then we've got the big one against Hamilton on the horizon, so fingers crossed for that. Right, okay. Until next time, however, we will say,
expect the unexpected, buddy.